Welcome to Shaped by Faith with your host, Teresa Rowe. To find out more about Shaped by Faith and Teresa Rowe, please visit shapedbyfaith.com or visit the YouTube channel, Facebook, or Instagram. And now, here is Teresa Rowe.
Welcome to Shaped by Faith. We shape our bodies and hearts for God's purposes. My guests today are Scott and Stephanie Siever. They have served the Lord in ministry together since 2006. Scott is the lead pastor at Walnut Memorial Baptist Church in Owensboro, Kentucky. They have seven kiddos ranging from elementary age to young adult and all reside on a farm in Philpott, Kentucky. They've served in the youth, children, and lead pastoral ministry. Scott enjoys farming, board games, and all things competitive. Challenge him, he says, in catching lightning bugs, and you'll see. And Stephanie loves being perpetually awkward, 80s music, chicken tenders from the gas station. I love that. Welcome to Shaped by Faith, Scott and Stephanie.
Thank you for having us.
Thank you. Yes.
Absolutely. Our mutual friend, Don Wilkins, says you've got to interview these two. They're great. They're full of life. And they're pastors. I'm like, great. Okay. Let's do this. So I love for our listeners always to find out like a little bit about your background. You can go into as much detail as you want, but, did you both grow up in a Christian home?
So I grew up in Southeastern Kentucky. So every home, quote unquote, is a Christian home. My parents believed in God and, you know, they prayed. But it wasn't the kind of faith that we would hope for, that mm-hmm. changes a person, that impacts your daily walk. And so my family didn't go to church. I was really blessed to have an incredible bus driver by the name of Danny, who picked me up every Sunday and took me to church. And so the Lord brought other mentors and other people along in my life. But I wouldn't say that my family was a Christian family or that our household was a Christian household.
Okay. What about you, Stephanie?
So I grew up in a Christian home. We went to church every Sunday. My parents were very faithful in church. My dad worked a lot, so he didn't get to go to church on Sundays until I think I was in adulthood and he got a new job and he started to become very faithful. We did church, but we didn't really talk about Christ in our home very often. But it's been so cool because throughout the years, I've watched my parents grow a lot in their faith. I've watched my mom grow in her faith as an adult. And that's kind of cool as an adult, like watching your parents grow in their faith and watching my dad start to be able to go to church and like read his Sunday school lesson beforehand. And that was a blessing for me to watch them both grow. And I was kept a lot by my granny and while my parents worked, and she spent a lot of time in ministry serving her friends. She would take them to the grocery store and to go pay their bills, all of her elderly friends. And so I kind of grew up watching her do ministry, and that's where I learned to do ministry first, was from my granny.
That's awesome. So when did you guys get serious about following the Lord? Was it in your, you know, your younger years, or when was that?
I think for both of us, it was around the same time.
Yeah.
I was 16. I was a junior in high school, and I was on a youth retreat, and the Lord just really kind of confirmed to me through that and the season following that, that I really wasn't going to be satisfied or content in life unless I was serving him. And so it was pretty early on for both of us, as far as a calling and a commitment to follow him. Lord, whatever you want, we'll do it.
Mm-hmm. That's awesome. And that, you know, there's so many times teenagers don't do that and they wait till a little later. So obviously God was tugging at both your hearts. So I'm very interested to hear how the two of you met.
This is a story that I love to tell.
Of course you do.
And so the retreat that we were on, our youth pastor, who's been an incredible mentor of ours our whole lives, he plans this retreat, and Stephanie is 19, so she's not in youth anymore. I'm just 16, so I'm still a student, so I'm in youth group, and he invites her to come along as a chaperone, and I was there as a student.
He loves telling his part.
Oh, and so that's how we met. And
let me just let me just interject and say he likes to tell the 16, 19. He turned 17 like a week later.
I was 16 when we met, though. Officially met. We knew each other before that, but that's when we really spent some time together and got to know each other.
And it was on that retreat as well. I became a believer when I was 5 years old and surrendered to ministry at 14. I didn't know what that looked like. I thought I was going to be a missionary somewhere. And I kind of did the normal, I guess it's normal, but normal ain't right. The normal teenage thing where I ran from the Lord and kind of did my own thing. But at 19 on that same retreat was when I fully surrendered to the Lord.
Yeah.
Wow. Okay. Let me ask you this. Was it love at first sight between the two of you?
Well, I would say love at first sight. She definitely caught my attention.
You had a wig on when I knew you were.
There was a lot happened on that retreat. And so,
We were put together. It was a retreat about like being, it was like dating. It was for teenagers and, you know, how to date. And, so we got paired up on the very first day. We had to do this skit where we reversed roles. And so I played the role of the guy and he played the role.
Oh my gosh.
Like the improv. So it was just all of our personalities and all the stereotypes you can imagine just mashed into this. What was probably, I think it was supposed to be like a 5-minute skit, but I'm pretty sure we took it on for about 20 minutes.
It was way long. But she had on and I just knew. Yeah. I just knew.
And she chased me for quite a few months after that. So it may have been love at first sight for her. I don't know.
Oh my goodness. Okay. So did you guys start dating after that?
Maybe actually our dating anniversary is coming up. March 17th is our dating. So that retreat was like February 19th and we started like officially dating on March 17th. So not too long afterwards.
Yeah. She chased me for a month then.
Oh my gosh.
Okay. So obviously you two got together, you got married. Did God call you into ministry before you got married or together as a couple?
So I surrendered my life completely to the Lord at 19. I was going to college then, and I had changed my major so many times because I didn't know what I wanted to do. But at 19, I switched colleges because I felt the Lord calling me to Bible college. And so I started Bible college in 2005, I believe. And so he still had another year of high school. So I was in already working towards whatever it was that the Lord had me.
But it was interesting because, I mean, it was on the retreat. I was 16, she was 19, and both of us kind of just, we're all in, Lord, whatever you want. It was a surrender for her. It was me announcing my call for the very first time. But like, even then, before I even graduated high school, like we started teaching a class together. At church, we had this little CIA class. It was like
first, it was Children in Action, first through sixth graders.
Yeah, it was like the GDAs and the RAs kind of put together, and so they called it CIAs. And mm-hmm. class, I mean, I'm 16, she's 19,
17,
17. Yes, I'm 17, she's 19, and they gave us the class, and so we started ministering together before we were even married.
That's interesting. I mean, God put you, wow, that's incredible. So did you two get along?
I think we've always worked well together.
I think the parents were crazy for trusting us with their kids.
Oh my goodness. They
lock in with like first through sixth graders.
I mean, there was like 25 kids and just me and Scott.
It was crazy. Yeah. Yeah. I look back
goodness.
On that I would ever do that to other teens. I don't think I'd ever allow them to take my children. They were crazy.
Yeah, but God knew your calling. They must have known it somehow, trusted you with those kiddos. Gosh. But did you enjoy teaching the kids?
Oh, yeah. Stephanie was back then, she had everything planned out. And you know, she would assign me my parts of the lesson that I was going to lead. He took more of control of that part. And I was more of the games and you know, keeping the kids in line. So we each took our roles seriously, but we had a lot of fun with it.
That sounds fun. We're going to take a real quick break right here. So we'll be back with more Shaped by Faith. Everyone, stay tuned. Welcome back to Shaped by Faith. My guests today are Scott and Stephanie Sieber, and they've served the Lord in ministry together since 2006. Scott is a lead pastor at Walnut Memorial Baptist Church in Owensboro, Kentucky. They have seven kiddos ranging from elementary age to young adult, and they all reside on a farm in Philpott, Kentucky. Well, let's talk about your kids. You are blessed with a very large family. So tell us about your kiddos.
Oh, wow. That's we could go on a lot there. So we have five boys, two girls. The Lord gave us two girls to keep us sane.
Yeah.
Originally, I think we wanted all. And then our first child by birth was a girl. And I didn't know what I was going to do because I had planned for boys. But I'm so thankful for my girls now.
Yes. The Lord knew exactly what he was doing. So
we do have
five biological. Oh, yeah.
Yeah, they do.
Oh, yeah. And so, but we have five biological and two adopted, and the Lord knew exactly what he was doing with each one of those. And it's kind of a funny story because I think when we, at one point we had two biological and then we had adopted two, we were at four and we were done. And so we got rid of all the baby stuff and we're like, okay, four kids is enough. And somehow or another, we ended up having three more. I'm not sure what happened there, but each one we were like, okay, five. Enough. Six kids is enough. Seven kids. That's enough.
Yeah.
and that's where we've landed. So Arrow is our youngest, and we kind of joke that he is the last quiver in our quiver. And so we named him Arrow. So he's where we stopped.
That's a really cool name. I really like that. Well, you never know. You know what God is up to. It's funny that you gave away all your baby stuff. I'm on kind of a different spectrum where we have grandchildren and I thought they were all finished. And my son says, we're going to have a baby soon. I'm like, I gave away all my baby stuff. But it's all good. It's all good. It's a blessing, right?
Yeah, it is.
And it's interesting. Yeah, I was adopted too. All the kids in my family, when I grew up, we were adopted. So that's interesting. What are some of the biggest challenges that you see parents facing as they raise children now?
I want to think that maybe not being the sole influence in your kids' lives because everyone's so busy. And I know we struggle with that ourselves with YouTube and, you know, all the different influences that are coming upon our kids. And we want to try to be the sole influencers in their lives.
Mm-hmm. That's
yeah,
good.
I think that they go to school and their friends, their teachers influence them, the media, everybody. You know, there's a lot of influences that pour into them, and we're so busy just as a culture that if we're not intentional as parents to set aside that time and to pour into them and to speak life into them and speak truth into them, it doesn't happen by accident. And so it's one of the things that we see with a lot of families is we don't take the time and we aren't intentional, when we really need to be. We have to be, because we know, you know, our kids are going out into a world that is designed, you know, to influence them.
Absolutely. You know, with one of our grandchildren, he's the eldest, he's 13, he's in middle school, and he told us a few things, and it wasn't with the teachers at all. It was with his peers, and they're facing so many different things that we never faced as kids, and our children never faced as kids. And it's like you have to, like you said, be intentional and talk to them. You've got to talk to them and have that open line of communication. So how do you influence your children in today's world to follow Christ?
And I think the biggest thing that we do is we're very open with our kids.
We have a lot of really uncomfortable, difficult conversations, but we have them a lot.
Yes.
I mean, we're the ones having them, and our kids aren't going to other places to get the answers to the questions that they have.
I mean, kids are going to ask questions and they want to know things and they want to understand things. And so we're just very transparent with our kids, and we use everyday situations as teaching opportunities. I mean, there's times when people have, you know, ripped us off, or they've been ugly to us, or they've been hateful. And we use that as a teaching opportunity. And we talk about how, you know, when we get in the flesh, this is what it looks like. It's very easy to be there. And this is how I would like to respond, you know, so that they understand you're not abnormal because you want to respond that way. That's human nature. Mm-hmm. But we we don't respond that way. You know, we respond in love. We respond in a way that honors God. And so we just try to use everyday situations as teaching opportunities.
Or when we don't respond the way that we should, we have to kind of say, guys, I was wrong. I didn't do this right. And this is why.
I mean, there's been times, I mean, when we were, of course, our oldest son, who's 18, when he came to live with us, he was six turning seven. And, you know, we were young, early 20s, and we didn't know how to do much of anything, let alone parent and foster care. And so, like, there have been times even where I've gone back to him later, you know, and said, you know what? We didn't always handle these situations in the beginning the best. And I'm sorry that we handled them, that I personally handled them the way that I did. But I was just trying, and I'm falling, and I'm broken. And, you know, I'm sorry that it worked out that way. And we just try to be very real. But it also teaches them how to apologize when they've fallen or they've done, you know, done things the wrong ways or with the wrong attitude.
That's really good. You know, that is really good advice. When I look back on our life, you know, we probably could have been more open and transparent with them. I guess there's some point where parents try to protect their kids and they don't want them to know everything. But you're right. Their peers are going to bring it up regardless. So that's wonderful. And you've got to do it in the right way, like you said. Love what you're doing. Okay, so both of you obviously have a lot of fun together. I looked at your TikTok. So and we're going to get into that. What's the key for you having a happy marriage filled with lots of laughter and lots of kids?
Oh, wow.
I love that we both paused and looked at each other. Yeah. You can't see that. But
we're in probably the best season of our marriage. And I would love to say that every season has been like this season.
It was not.
I think a lot of times what we do is we look at where we are in the season we're in, and then we look at others and we're like, they're so much happier and they're so much healthier and they've got it all figured out. And the truth of the matter is they may have just come out of a really difficult season. So we've had both. I mean, and multiple times we've had both.
I think we've always just been friends.
Oh, yeah.
And that has helped just our closeness as friends too. But I mean, we went through seasons where we hated each other.
Oh yeah.
And we didn't want to be in the same room and for a long time, but over the years, I feel like we've just learned mercy and grace and to be in that person's corner, even when you don't want to be in their corner.
Yeah. And that's probably the great thing, you know, as a spouse, just knowing that someone has your back and knowing they love you unconditionally, you know, through God's powers, that they have that same grace and mercy for you every day is awesome.
Mm-hmm. What a blessing. Okay, so let's talk TikTok. What got you started posting content on TikTok?
Two young ladies in our church, they are our worship pastor's daughters, actually. They came to us because we would post every now and then on Facebook just our funny videos and just for our friends. And they were like, you guys got to do TikTok. We think you'd really do good on TikTok. And I thought,
we're sitting over here like, we're so old.
Too old for that. But it turns out we're not. And that was it.
Emily, it was 2020. There was nothing else to do.
Yeah, yeah.
And so we were like, why not? Let's do it. We're bored.
Go ahead.
I know that was when we started, was 2020, when everybody was stuck in their houses, not doing anything.
Well, that was a good time to start. You know, laughter is good medicine for the soul, for sure. And I love that you guys laugh together and you're real with people. So why don't you explain the sort of content that you post?
Our content is really just to whatever happens in that day that we find amusing. We just kind of reenact it and post it. I mean, I would say 90%
of the time it's in the moment. Yeah. He'll say something or we will start a playful argument. And I'm like, stop. And then I get the phone out and we don't continue it until I get the phone out. Sometimes he might have to re-say something, but I'm like, wait, this is too funny. We've got to do this. Like, and we'll crack up. Like our last video was he couldn't say a word.
Yeah.
And that was just all in the moment. We just pull the phone out and I'm like, pause, let me get this out. And
I tell people all the time, I mean, our TikTok, the motivation behind it, the catalyst 90% of the time is me trying to make Stephanie laugh. And I mean, that's a lot of my day is just trying to get her to laugh. I love when she laughs. And so if I can get her to laugh and she thinks it's funny, then maybe other people will think it's funny too. And she records and we have a lot of fun with it.
Absolutely. Let's take a real quick break here. We'll be right back with more Shaped by Faith. Okay, welcome back to Shaped by Faith. Scott and Stephanie Sieber, you have been so refreshing just to chat with. And you were talking about your TikTok and they've gone viral. I mean, you've got like, I mean, I looked at your post. I'm like, what? You've got like a million views. And I'm like, so how did that all happen? And what's your most popular or viral post?
Oh, wow.
Our most popular series was Things That Drive My Husband Crazy, because Scott is a little particular about things and weird things that I think are weird. He's very particular about, and that just struck a chord with people.
And Stephanie's just, she's awkward and she's goofy and she just like, and she knows things that bother me, like when the pillow tags hang out, and she just doesn't care. And so
those things don't bother me. And but I think our most viral video came from when a church member gave us some Dunkaroos like cookies.
Oh my gosh. Uh-huh.
And he said,
listen, I grew up really poor and I never had Dunkaroos before. All my friends had Dunkaroos. I never had any.
Those are good. My grandkids love them. I always have them in my pantry. Yeah. Well, oh my God.
And so that was, people found that very interesting that I was not going to share with the kids. And I made no apologies about it.
Hey, that's okay. That is great. You know, people need to laugh. It seems like it's so serious and things are going on in the world that are just craziness. People need to take a step back. It's kind of like slapstick comedy, you know, where, you know, you probably could do a TV show and make a show of it. I'm just putting that out there for you. So what kind of feedback do you receive from your content?
I mean, A to Z. I mean, most people are on there very encouraging, a lot of positive stuff.
The main thing we hear is, I needed this laugh today. Mm-hmm. And that's mostly what we get.
Yeah. I think absolutely. For our follower believers, it's a great encouragement. I think for those who are non-believers or atheists or agnostic, we hear a lot of, you know, you guys, I was really surprised to find out you were Christians. This is so refreshing. You're my favorite Christian TikTokers. Never thought I would say that. Things like that, you know. And so we really get from both sides, which is really cool.
That is neat. Okay. This weekend is Easter. And so I wanted you just to address the significance of Easter for Christians.
Yeah. I mean, Paul's very clear in scripture. You know, without the resurrection, you know, we go all out for Christmas, but we should probably go all out for Easter. Resurrection Sunday is that Sunday that our whole faith hinges on. Without the resurrection, you know, Paul says we of all people are most miserable. It is the key to our hope. It's the key to, you know, knowing that what Christ has done for us, overcoming death, hell, and the grave, he has also given us that same power to overcome death, hell, and the grave. And we have this promise of eternity because of what he's done. And so it should be one of the most exciting and celebrated, you know, seasons through the year for us.
Absolutely. Do you see people, you know, you're in the church, you have members of the church. Do you see people really applying their Bible? And I'm not saying sit in judgment, but do you see that people are actually reading their Bible and getting in the Word, or do you feel like people are just coming to church?
We see both. Mm-hmm. We're doing a lot of one-on-one discipleship. That's been our heart. You know, I think we have like 20 or so people now that are being discipled one-on-one or in smaller groups. So we're seeing a lot of growth on that level. But even within the context of the congregation, I'm seeing a lot more people.
People want to grow and change.
They do.
I see that.
They really do. And, you know, my challenge for the last few weeks, one of the truths that I've been speaking over my people is, you know, we need to live our lives as a response to the grace and the mercy that we've received from God. When you receive that kind of grace and mercy, it changes you. Like you aren't the same person anymore. And so that's been my challenge, is living that out, living out scripture every single day. And it's been a lot of fun. I'm pretty new to it. I've only been doing it for a little over a year, but,
almost 2 years,
but our people have really responded, even to some of my crazy antics and different ways. They've been very supportive and I'm seeing a lot of growth. I'm excited about it.
Well, you know, discipleship is so important, because someone accepts Jesus in their heart and then sometimes we forget that they need to be discipled and they need someone to come alongside them. You know, because some people just aren't motivated to do it on their own, sort of like fitness, you know, there's okay. those that will do it on their own and then the majority of people won't. So I think that's great that you're discipling. What about the Bible and like, what is the most important book to you, or what book would you suggest for a new Christian?
I know exactly where he's going to go with this.
So my first series that I did, I'm very verse by verse expositional preaching. And so I started in the book of James, and James is just a few chapters, but it took us the whole year to get to the book of James.
Our church spent his first year as lead pastor in the book of James. And so it's this running joke. Anytime somebody on James, it's like, James, we've been here for a year.
Well, they must know it well, you know. So is that the most important book that you think a Christian should start in the book of James?
For me personally, I think James is great because it's so practical. It's just a lot of, you know, rubber meets the road type stuff, and it's living out your faith. I think it's a great foundational book, and it's not so intimidating. It's just a handful of chapters. It's just a few chapters. And so there's a lot of really good passages in there that if you read it, you go, oh, I knew that verse. Oh, I recognize that verse. There's a lot of great stuff in James. And so that's where I point people to.
I point people to John.
Yes, John. Okay. Well, it's good that you both have a different opinion on that. So James or John. So we've got like 15 seconds left. I know we could go on and on. I'd love to have you on again. Okay. Love to bring you back, but thank you both so much. It's been so enjoyable. And, your pastor's at Walnut Memorial Baptist Church in Owensboro, Kentucky. What's your TikTok name? How can people find you?
Stephan Scott.
Stephan Scott.
I didn't even know it. Yeah. So.
Stephan Scott. Well, thank you both so much for being a guest on Shaped by Faith.
Yes, thank you.
Thank you so much.
Absolutely. And thank you for listening. I'm Teresa Rowe. Everyone have a blessed day. Bye.
Thank you for listening to Shaped by Faith with Teresa Rowe. Remember to visit shapedbyfaith.com to find out more about workouts, the TV show, podcasts, blogs, Shaped by Faith products, and much more.